Good evening, everyone. Welcome to church. Good to see you all in the house of God this evening. Can I get you to grab your hymnals and turn to hymn number 165? Hymn number 165, O Worship the King. Hymn number 165, and when you found it, can I get you to stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that we can be gathered in your house this evening, Lord. And I just pray that you be with us during this service, Lord. And I just pray that you help us to learn from this the sermon that is to be preached. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And can I get you to turn now to hymn number 44? Hymn number 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Hymn number 44. Final hymn before the Bible reading. Can I get you to turn now to hymn number 255? Hymn number 255, Come and Dine. Mm-hmm.
where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Don't you speak yourself with Jesus all the time? Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth, now come and dine. The disciples came too late, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth, now come and dine. To the lamb will take his bride, to be ever at his side. For the host of heaven will assemble me. Christ will be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. May with Jesus they will feast eternally.
Alrighty, good singing. Time for the Bible reading. Can I get you to turn now to Psalm chapter 20? Psalm 20, and Brother Matt will be coming up for the Bible reading.
Psalm 20, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will bear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today and for the service. Please be with Pastor Cameron as he preaches with us. And let us all learn something. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, brother. All right, so we're there in Psalm 20, and look at verse number 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we, brethren, what do you trust in? What are we going to do when we need it, when we have a time of we need a time of help, you know, when things are going challenging and we're going through trials and difficulties? Hey, do we trust in the might of man, in the might of armies, the might of chariots, or in horses? It says, no, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The name. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, many times as you read through your Bible, you know, we understand that our dependency, our trust, our hope is in the Lord God. But there are so many times that the Bible just refers to the name of the Lord. What did it say? We will remember. We will bring to remembrance. What? The name of the Lord, our God. It says there in verse number 8, those that trust in chariots and horses, in the strength of man, they are brought down and fallen, but we, brethren, are risen and stand upright. What's going to help you when you're having a time of difficulty? When you're cast down and you need to be lifted up, you need to remember the Lord's name. Say, Lord, your name. You know, Lord, I'm going to uphold your name. I'm going to remember your name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name God Almighty, the name Jehovah. There are many names that the Lord God presents himself as, and they all carry a special meaning. We are to remember his name. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I want us to remember that as Christians, why are we called Christians? Well, to be a Christian is to be a Christ follower, but we carry the name of Christ, don't we? You know, to say that we're a Christian, we say we identify with Jesus Christ. We wear the name of the Lord, as it were, by our titles. And so we ought to represent that name, that mighty name of our Lord God. We are to remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, we are continuing our series on the Ten Commandments this Wednesday, and we are up to commandment number 3. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read to you what commandment number 3 is. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Interesting. We're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. So the title for the sermon tonight, brethren, is God's name in vain. God's name in vain. What does it mean to have his name in vain? To take his name and make it vain? Of course, what is vanity? Vanity is emptiness, worthless, useless. You know, we can take God's name and make it worthless, make it useless. We do have that ability. Now, we often think about, when you think of that commandment, we do think of what we just read there, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." But then the second part of that verse is quite interesting. It says, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So if we take God's name in vain, God's not going to hold you guiltless. He's going to claim that you're guilty, that you're worthy of judgment if you take his name and you lower it to nothing. There's strength in the name of the Lord God. There's power in the name. You know, we think about it in the New Testament, of course, the name of Jesus Christ is power in that name. Salvation is through that name. You know, it's one thing to go and to preach the gospel, and, you know, if we went out knocking the doors and, you know, we told, asked people if they're sure of going to heaven, they gave you time to give the gospel, you explained that they're a sinner, you explained that they're on their way to hell, you explained that God sent his son and that his son died in their place, death, burial, resurrection, and all you need to do is trust in the son, and then you say, well, the son's name is Fred. Call upon the name of Fred and thou shalt be saved. Listen, that person could understand what happened, but he hasn't got the name of Christ. He's not trusted in Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's salvation in the name of Christ. There's no point of you believing in some Fred who died on the cross for your sins. That would be some other gospel. That would be some other Christ. Salvation must be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful with this commandment. God's not going to hold us guiltless. If we take God's name and we lower it to nothingness, you know, to vanity, then you're not guiltless. You're guilty. And God will hold you accountable for what you've done to his name. And so when I realized, man, God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, I realized, man, this is so important. So important that we don't do such thing. You know, if we lower his name, it offends the Lord God. There is strength, there is might in the name of God. Not only should we remember our Lord God, but we should remember his name. Bring it to remembrance as we need his power and strength to get through life. Now, I will get you to turn to, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, while you're turning to Matthew chapter 6, I want you to think about how important the name of God is to him. While you're turning to Matthew 6, I'll read to you from Exodus 34 verse 14. Exodus 34 verse 14. This is what God says to Moses. He says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Brethren, what do we learn? We learn that God is jealous. Okay? And of course, it's righteous to be jealous. What does it mean to be jealous? That which belongs to you, you don't want that for anybody else. It's righteous. It's good to be jealous for the things that belong to you. Don't let anyone take what belongs to you, what God has given you, and make it, and destroy it. You know, I mean, you know, my family belongs to me. You know, and God's given me a wife. She belongs to me. It would be, you know, it would hurt me if someone came along and tried to destroy my family. Right? Or if my wife is spending time with some other man, I ought to be jealous about that because she belongs to me and I belong to her. And so, of course, the Lord God is jealous. So when you think about that, what does that mean? It means that our worship, our praise belongs to him. That we belong to him. Our bodies have been purchased with a price. You know, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We belong to him, brethren. God wants to use us. You know, God wants us to be a channel that he can use and do great works through us. We belong to him. And so, of course, we don't want to give ourselves to this world. We don't want to give ourselves to the devil or give ourselves to some other god. We want to give ourselves to God, right? We're called Christians. We want to walk in the steps of Christ. But not only is God jealous. What did it say in that verse? whose name is jealous. Whose name is jealous. So another, and it's capital J, another name for God is jealous. Say, what is God's name? Well, one of his name is jealous. You know, therefore, God is jealous about his name. God does not want us to take his name and make it worthless. You know, he wants us to uphold and uplift his name. Understand how important it is to be thankful for the very name of our Lord God. So yeah, our God is not only a jealous God, but his name is jealous. We have to be careful about how we use the name of our Lord God. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, because the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. You know, and Christ gives them the example of how to pray. And I want you to think about how Christ is praying to his Father, how Christ honors the name of his Father. It says there in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, Christ says. What does it mean to hallow something? It sounds like Halloween. It's kind of, it does have the same root word, but the word hallow means holy. It means separated. Jesus Christ says to the Father, your name is different. Your name is special. Your name is set apart from everything else. He honors the name of his Father. Say, what is the Father's name? The Father. That's his name. Okay, that's his name, right? Our Father, which art in heaven. That's his name. Hallowed be thy name. So, brethren, when we come and we pray, we say, thee, Heavenly Father, dear Father, think about what you're saying when you pray. Think about who you're speaking to, whose name is jealous as well, our jealous God. Hey, our prayer ought to go to the right God, Jesus Christ and the Father. It should be going to the Lord God. But when we speak of his name, you know, one of the bad habits that I have, and a lot of Christians have, it just happens in churches. As we're praying, Lord, do you know Lord is a name of God? It's one of his name. It's not just a title, it's his name. Lord, 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 Lord. You know, if someone's talking to me, it's just Kevin, sorry, come on, calm down. I think sometimes we can be in danger of using the Lord's name in vain when we simply go before God and we pray. You know, when you think about using his name, are we really, you know, thinking about what we're saying? Are we honoring his name? Are we hallowing his name? And I think we have to be careful. And I have to change this about the way I pray. Sometimes I'm praying and I'm just thinking, what's the next thought that I have to bring to the Lord God? And I say, Lord. And I say, Lord, kind of like, what's the next point? Lord. You know what? We've got to be careful. Am I upholding his name? Or am I using it as a placeholder? You know, these things, you know, I think as Christians, we take the Lord's name in vain many times. And we don't even think about it. Because often when you think about the Lord's name in vain, you think about, you know, how people just walk around and say, oh my God. And that is taking the Lord's name in vain. That is, of course. But there are many ways, times that we just use the Lord's name and we don't even think about what we're saying. Does it carry meaning? Are we honoring his name? You know, do we have a heartfelt love toward God when we use his name? You know, when we sing hymns, don't forget we're singing to the Lord. Many times the name is mentioned, you know, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Are you sure you want to say that? Are you thinking about the words you're saying? Or are they just empty words that are coming through your mouth? Because we're at church and we're singing our songs, we've got to get through the songs to get to the service, to the sermon. We've got to get to the sermon to get to the end of the service and then we can go home, whatever it is. But you know, are we really thinking about the name that we're giving glory to when we sing from our hearts? I think sometimes we can sing and go through the motions. Our heart's not there, we're just doing it because we know we need to sing. And we're saying his name, but it means nothing to us. Is that taking the Lord's name in vain? I say yes. I think it's important. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, I think we all have an area that we can fix in our lives in this. I know I can. And we need to be careful because God says he's not going to hold us guiltless. You know, I was working on this sermon, I was just thinking, you know, how much chastisement, how much judgment have I received where I just did not think and I've used the Lord's name and it just meant nothing. How many times have I come to church and sung of the name of Jesus and, you know, my heart just wasn't there. I was just going through the motions. How many times? You know, does this happen? Or as I said, just praying, and Lord, Lord, Lord. But am I really asking the Lord? I'm just using it as a placeholder to get to my next point. Again, I just don't want us to be judged and chastised unnecessarily. I think all of us can be a little bit more careful when we use the Lord's name. Okay? Hallowed. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. After it says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is different to you know, the trash on the earth. Think about the name of the Lord. It's a name that is above all things. It's a heavenly name. It's the name of my God, of my Savior. And am I lowering that name to just be any other name? You know, one of the problems amongst South Americans, Hispanic countries, that the name of Jesus, Jesus, is often used just as a regular person's name. Like, it's, you know, it'd be rare. It's so rare for us as an English-speaking country to know someone named Jesus. Like, just a regular person named Jesus. But in South America, it's so common. Like, everyone's like Jesus, or middle name's a Jesus or something like that. And I'm just thinking, man, that's a very special name. That's a name that is above every other name, and we're just using it as a common name. You know, I'd strongly encourage you to think about, you know, the names that you give to your kids. You know, you don't want to give your children the name of Jesus, because it's the name of our Lord and Savior. I don't want to use that name in vain. Anyway, to be hallowed is to be holy. Hallowed be thy name. We see the example of Jesus. He came to set us the example. Don't forget. He lifts up, he hallows, he honors the name of his Father. And we ought to be doing the same thing. When we go to God in prayer, we lift up the name of God. Should we think about what we're doing? We're speaking that name. I don't want to use it in vain. I don't want it to be nothing and empty and worthless. Got to be careful about how we use the name of the Lord. I'll quickly read to you from Isaiah 42, verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse number 8. It says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I am the Lord. That is my name. Yep, Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah. Okay, that is his name. Then he says, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now, thankfully, you know, we're not a type of church that has graven images and idols and statues. I already preached on this last week about the idols, the idol worship. But you know what God says? That he is the Lord, that is his name. He's not going to share his glory with another. You know, he's not going to share his glory with statues and images. But then you go to the Roman Catholic Church, and what do they say? Well, that statue is Jesus, don't they? That's what they say. Well, they're taking the glory of God, the name of God, and they're giving it to a piece of wood, a piece of gold, a piece of nothingness. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. Saying that statue is Jesus, we just use the Lord's name in vain, because that's a piece of wood. It's nothing. It can't speak, it can't hear, it can't see, it can't walk, it can't answer your prayers, and you're calling it Jesus. And so there's another problem with those statues and the idols, brethren, is that you're taking the glory of God, the special name of God, and you're giving it to nothingness. You're giving it to vanity. Think about that, you know, how we can take God's name and making it nothing. You say, well, you know, we don't do that, Pastor Kevin. You know, we don't have statues, we don't walk around and say, well, this is a Jesus over here. And yeah, I understand that. But you know, when we think about the names that we use for God, obviously God's name, the Lord, we saw his name, Jesus. And one of the problems in our society, you know, at least in the English-speaking world, is that we have these sayings, you know. One of the things that disgusted me, going to a Christian school, expecting people to be Christians, to love the Lord, is how many times people would just say, oh my God, especially the young girls, oh my God. And then something happens and they're surprised, oh God. It's like, well, who are you speaking to? Are you speaking to the Lord? And of course they're not speaking to the Lord. What are they doing? They're taking the Lord's name in vain. God's not going to hold them guiltless. You know, you turn on the TV, some Hollywood movie, that's all they do. All they do constantly is take the Lord's name in vain. And we get entertained by these things. You know, one of the things that when someone gets saved, when someone wants to clean up their life, you know, sometimes you've got to clean up your words, clean up your language. You know, if you're used to just cussing, you know, usually you start to realize I need to change this about myself, and it's not easy. I mean, I was never someone that had a filthy mouth or anything like that, so it's, you know, I never had the challenge. But I've seen people that want to clean up their mouths. I've just seen how hard it is for them, because it is so common. It's just so, it's part of their nature. It's so part of the vocabulary to say words or to use the Lord's name in vain, and then to realize, man, this is horrible. So sometimes, instead of using the Lord's name in vain, like, oh my God, they'll use an euphemism, okay? So it becomes, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I still get to say it when I'm surprised. You know, I get that out of me a little bit. Oh my gosh. But what does that mean? Gosh is a euphemism. It means it's a word in the place of, meaning the same thing, but it just sounds a little bit nicer. Gosh. To me, it's no different. Now you're taking God's name and making it into something that is less powerful than that name. I think we have to be careful. And I'm saying even within my own family, we have to be careful about the euphemisms that we use. You know, are these just words in the place of the Lord's name? But what for what purpose exactly? You know, if we want to use the Lord's name, let's use the Lord's name, but let's hallow it. Let's lift it up. Let's honor that name. Instead of lowering it to, a word or a phrase just to express our emotions, to express when we're surprised and, you know, when, you know, how people do that. What about golly? I didn't know that was a euphemism for God. Golly. That's the same thing. You're just saying God in a more cuter sense. I had no idea. That's what I'm saying to you. Like, I look at these things and go, man, how many times have I truly taken the Lord's name in vain? And then I'm lowering it to some other word that carries a similar sound. And I think I'm right with God. I think I'm just doing just fine using these other words. What about this one? Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. Did you know that was a euphemism? Who's gracious? Who's gracious? For by grace are you saved. Isn't God gracious? So people are like, oh, we can't, you know, we don't want to use God's name in vain. So instead of God being gracious, we'll say goodness is gracious. We're surprised and we have to be careful. I had no idea, once again, that goodness was in the place of God because God is good. So people, oh, we've got to be careful with God's name. Well, let's call it goodness. Well, why don't we just not say it at all? Why don't we just be careful with God's name? Because I know it's lost some meaning, I guess. You know, some of these words I didn't realize was associated with the name of God. But that's how it is. That's our society. This is how we speak sometimes. People get surprised, oh Lord, right? Shocked, oh Lord, oh Jesus. I hate that. I hate that when I hear people say, Jesus. Why are you speaking to Jesus? You're just shocked? You can't control your emotions? You know? You can't keep your mouth shut and honor that name that saved me, that offers you salvation? So say, oh, maybe not Jesus. What about G? G. What, you just shorten the name of Jesus? Another euphemism? Jeez. You know the one that surprised me the most? Because of the famous crocodile hunter, you know, that, or the late crocodile hunter, I should say, that, you know, was from the Sunshine Coast, or at least his zoo's on the Sunshine Coast. Crikey. What does crikey mean? Does anyone know what the euphemism, what does it represent? Christ. Instead of him just going, Christ, crikey. Ha, ha, ha. You know, Aussie slang. It's a euphemism for Christ. You're taking his name, okay? And you're lowering it to just rubbish. It's nothingness, vanity. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's commandment number 3. And I think when we pause and think about it, we've done this so many times. You know, we've really messed up. I know I've messed up so many times. Again, out of ignorance. And I do believe God, you know, we know God is merciful. We know the Lord God is long-suffering. But I just think about, man, Lord, you've gone so long and I've used your name so many different ways that I didn't even know, Lord. And well, maybe you've punished me, maybe you chastised me. I don't know along the way. But I think we have to be careful. I mean, we should be careful. As Christians, we should have control over our mouths anyway. You know, we should be slow to speak, right? Swift to hear. We should be careful about the words that come out of our mouth. When you get emotional and heated and fired up, we've got to be careful. Because the Bible says we ought to be temperate in all things. We've got to have self-control, okay? And sometimes, yeah, many of these words is just because we lack self-control. We've been taught by our world and society to just let go. You're emotional. Just tell the world. Just say God's name in vain. Get that out of you. You know what? As I thought about this, I think I'd rather just cuss. Not that I'm saying it's okay, but I think I'd just rather drop the F-bomb than to drop the name of God in vain. That is profaning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, I don't even want to drop the F-bomb. I don't even want to speak with those words. But it's even worse to take God's name and to lower it to nothing. God's not going to hold you guiltless. Okay, so, you know, I hope this touches your heart a little bit. I hope you think about what I'm saying. Because I think we can all improve our language. And they say, well, Pastor Kevin, I'm so, you know, when I get emotional, it just comes out of my mouth. You know, can I just, what do I do? Shut your mouth, yeah? Shut your mouth. Learn to close your mouth. You don't always need to express your disgust or your surprise. Again, temperate in all things. Learn some self-control. Tell your mouth, shut up. Shut up before you say something stupid. Or before you say something as bad as taking the Lord's name in vain. But there are other words you can use if you can't help that. What about wow? Find something amazing, something a surprise. Wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. You serious? You're kidding. How about we, you know, if you're having a hard time with controlling that mouth and you want to say something, just don't take the Lord's name in vain, please. I don't want to see you punished by the hand of God. You know, I want this church, New Life Baptist Church, we come in the name of Christ. We're here because of His name. We come to honor and exalt the name of the Lord God. Be careful about the words, how you speak. Now, of course, I've used examples as I'm preaching behind this pulpit where the Lord's name is taken in vain. And I'm trying, you know, I'm not trying to do the same. I'm just trying to teach that we should be careful about these things. Okay, be careful about the way we speak. Can you please turn to Leviticus chapter 19? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 12. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 12. How else can we take the name of the Lord God in vain? You know, I think, again, we're trying to think outside the box, right? We want to be careful with the name of our Lord God. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 12. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 12, it reads, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely." Hey, don't make promises, empty, worthless promises, and say, "I swear to God." Something else I observed growing up in school, right? Someone did something wrong. And even if whether they're lying about it or whether they're telling the truth, "I swear to God." You guys know what I'm talking about? The Bible says there, hey, don't swear by my name falsely. Look at this. "Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." That is His name. So look, if you swear by the name of God falsely, you profane the name of thy God. You know, I think about, you know, this is why I'm so careful when I preach. So careful. I want to make sure that before I say something, I know the Bible says it. I don't want to come behind the pulpit and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then preach heresy, preach lies. Because what are you doing? You're swearing by the name of God falsely. You're saying, God said this, and you're lying. We have to be careful as preachers about what we speak. You know, sometimes I think, man, is this a weakness of mine? Because I just want to be extra careful. But no, I want to be careful. You know what? I'd rather be extra careful. I don't want to preach falsely in the name of God. Say something that he never said. There are too many preachers that do that. I want to be different. You know, everything that I teach, I want to make sure that it's in your Bible, that these are the words of God. You know, in Jeremiah 29, verse number 9, God says to Jeremiah, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." So what? What's the deal with false prophets? They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. They say, this is what God wants you to do. God is his name. This is what the Lord wants in your life. The Lord's his name. They prophesy falsely. God says, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. What about your marriage vows? I remember when I got married and we said our vows, the pastor said, well, you know, before God and these witnesses. Before God and these witnesses. And I made those vows to my wife, right? In richer, in poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, before God, I made those vows, okay? So what does that mean? Before, in the name of God, I said those vows. God be my witness. What did it say again in Leviticus 19:12? And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Hey, when I made those vows, it's not to be, it's true. I've got to keep those vows. Does that mean I'm going to have a perfect marriage? And we're never going to argue and never going to have conflicts? Of course not. But even in the face of conflicts and arguments, I'm going to stay true. I'm not going to profane God's name. Because again, if you swear by my name falsely, it says, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You know what? If you desire to get divorced and you get divorced and you break those vows, you've profaned the name of the Lord. Because it's very likely on your wedding day, you said before God, I'm going to keep to this truth. You know, before God, I'm going to honor these words. And so, everyone that gets divorced, they've taken the Lord's name in vain. It meant nothing when they said those vows. And God's not going to hold you guiltless. Okay? Can you please turn to Philippians chapter 2? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I'll read to you from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of God that saves us. It's the name of Jesus. That's why I said to you, yeah, you can teach people the gospel, but you call him Bob. You call him Frank. You call him Yeshua. They're not going to get saved because it's by the name of Jesus. That is a name that saves us. So let's be careful when we speak the name of Christ. When we speak the name of the Father, let's pause for a moment. Just a brief moment in your mind. Before I say God's name, does it carry meaning? You know, am I uplifting his name? Or am I taking that name and lowering it to nothing, to vanity, to emptiness? Could I be accidentally profaning the name of God? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amazing. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. A name above every name, Jesus. And how often do people just go out there, Jesus, Jesus? Either prophesying falsely in that name, or again, just as a way to express surprise, you know, an emotional response. Man, it's a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I've already bowed to that name. There are many times I've gone to prayer and I've bowed my knees, said in Jesus' name, I'm going to bow to that name. But we're all going to bow one day of things in heaven, even in heaven. The heavenly host, they bow down to the name of Jesus. And things in earth, everybody on this earth one day is going to bow to that name. And things under the earth, that would be hell. Even the souls that are sent to hell, even the souls that have rejected Christ, they're not going to get far from the Lord. One day they're also going to bow before that name. And they're going to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. When we honor the name of Christ, when we bow our knees to the name of Christ, it glorifies the Father. All of creation will one day bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to give you some other thoughts. Can you please go to Proverbs chapter 18? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 18. Brethren, when you find yourself in hardship, in trials and difficulties, be careful. Don't be like this world that yells the name of God. Okay? God Almighty. Or Jesus. Don't. Yes, you know what? I want you, when you're going through difficulties, I do want you to appeal to that name, but not in vanity. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 10, Proverbs 18 verse 10, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Again, the thought, yes, we run to God when we need help. But it says we ought to run to His name. His name is a strong tower. So, brethren, when you're going through difficulties and hardships and trials, do call on the name of God. Absolutely. But not as vanity like this world does, of surprise and shock. No, you go before God, God help me. In Jesus' name, I need your help. You know, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, you deserve all glory. Your name deserves all praise. And I need your help right now, Lord. I'm going through difficulty. I need a strong tower. I need a place of safety and protection. In Jesus' name. And mean it. Careful about His name. Careful how you use it. It is a strong tower. It is a place that we can run to. There's power in the name. Please go to Psalm 61. Psalm 61 and verse number 8. Psalm 61 and verse number 8. Psalm 61 and verse number 8 reads, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You know what? Just to get through our day, the things that we're committed to, the things that we have to do. One of the things that's going to help you accomplish your day, get through the day, is just sing praise to the name of God forever. Again, just a reminder, when we sing hymns, when we come to church and we sing, make sure you're thinking about who you're singing to. Before you say the name, am I meaning this? Or am I just going through the motions? I'm not criticizing anybody here. I don't know. I don't know what your life is like. Obviously, I don't know. All I can say is I know what I was like. Going to, you know, as a child, as a teenager, going to church, singing the hymns meant nothing to me many times. Just get through it, sing the hymns. Can't wait for church to finish. So surely not you, Pastor. Yeah, even me. How many times did I sing the name and it meant nothing? You know, it was just vanity, just emptiness. It's crazy. When you think about how many mistakes we've made, How many sins we commit? We can't even keep track. Could you imagine salvation was repent of your sins? Oh, can't be done. Can't be done. Praise God, we have a merciful God. Hey, but there's power in that name. Let's be careful with how we use his name. So where did we read from? Psalm 61. Please go to Psalm 10. Go to Psalm 10. Actually, go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 2. Just some other thoughts here. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Do you see how often the Bible speaks of it? And you know. You know what I'm saying is true. How many times? Yeah, we ought to sing to the Lord and, yeah, but to his name. God wants to make sure that we're exalting his name. That we're actually praying and singing to the right God. The only way you have the right God is by the right name. For whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So important we have the right name. Psalm 10 verse 7. Psalm 10 and verse number 7. We don't want to take his name in vain. It says here about the wicked. It says his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. You say, well, my mouth is not like that. My mouth is not full of deceit and fraud and cursing. But look at this. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Speaking vanity is lumped together with mischief, deceit, cursing, and fraud. So if we take God's name in vain and we use it as nothing, we're lumping ourselves amongst the rest of these words. Cursing, deceit, fraud, mischief. Go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12 and verse number 2. Psalm 12 and verse number 2. Again, this thought of taking God's name in vain. Again, about the wicked, it says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. This is about a backstabber. Have you ever been a backstabber to God? With flattering lips, glory to his name. But you know in your heart, you're not even meaning it. Right? With a double heart, do they speak? So you're singing the words, but it means nothing. I mean, how is that different to just being a backstabber to a friend or a neighbor? How is that different? It's not different. I think we have to be careful. I'm glad I'm going for the Ten Commandments, because I think, hey, there are some things that maybe we've just missed a little bit along the way, and we need to get this right. I don't want to speak to God with flattering lips, but I've got a double heart, you know, acting like a backstabber toward God. I don't want to be that way. Look at Psalm 31, verse number 6. Psalm 31. We don't want to take God's name in vain. But then it says in Psalm 31, verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I have hated them, people, that regard lying vanities. You know what? When someone takes God's name in vain, you ought to not just hate the sin, but hate them for doing it. When you're watching some Hollywood movie, and it's, oh my God, and you know it's God's name has been taken in vain, you're to hate that actor. You're to hate that movie. But I trust in the Lord. Man, you know, one of the things that churches are afraid to preach on is when God allows us to hate certain individuals. People say, well, God hates the sin, but not the sinner. Isn't that what they often say, which is not in your Bible? Was it Gandhi that said those words?
Yes.
Gandhi. Okay, we're quoting some false prophet instead of God's word. But this is one time that we can hate certain people. Hate people that take God's name in vain. I don't want to hate you for taking God's name in vain. You're my brother in the Lord. I'm your pastor. We ought to love each other. We're brothers in the Lord. We're to honor the name of God. But yeah, you know what? Lying vanities, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. So I want us to be very, very careful with how we speak God's word. I've got so many passages to turn to. Where can we go? If you go to, go to Psalm 139. Go to Psalm 139, please. And while you're turning to Psalm 139, let me just read to you from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. You get a Psalm 139. I'll read to you from Isaiah 1:10. And it's amazing what God says to Israel here in Isaiah 1:10. In verse number 10, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom." Who's he speaking to? Say, but well, maybe he's speaking to Sodom. No, he's not. He's speaking to Israel. God calls Israel Sodom. "Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, Israel, that's what you are. Okay? Israel, you're just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 11. Why is he saying that? "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" Because you're doing all the sacrifices. Okay? But what's the purpose? What's the meaning? It means nothing, God says. "Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of lambs and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts?" So when he says when you tread your courts, they come into God's house. They come into the temple. God's house is the local church in the New Testament. So whatever we're reading about here, brethren, we can apply it to the New Testament church. When we tread his courts, don't forget where two or three are gathered in his name, there is Christ in the midst of us. This is God's house when we meet for church, brethren. And they come in, they're doing the sacrifices, they're doing the offerings. Don't forget when we sing, we're offering our sacrifices of praise from our lips. We too offer sacrifices when we come to God's house. Okay? But then God says in verse number 13, Isaiah 1:13, "Bring no more vain oblations." He says your sacrifices are vain. Stop bringing vain oblations. All right? Now, God's not saying stop sacrificing. Just stop bringing the ones that are vain. So they're going through the motions once again. They're offering the sacrifices, but it means nothing to them. I don't want church to be this way for us. It just means nothing. Well, it's Wednesday night. We better be at church. But is your heart in it? Do you love the Lord? Are you sure you're coming to sing praises, to honor Him, to lift Him, to exalt Him? It continues there, "Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting." It is iniquity, sin. Even the solemn meeting, even church attendance, time can be iniquity if we're offering sacrifices that are vain, vain oblations. Verse number 14, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth." So hold on, God. You told the Israelites to do the feasts. You told the Israelites to offer the sacrifices. God says, I hate it all because it means nothing to you. It's vanity. It's worthless. "They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." That's full on. So God calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. You're no better than them. Look, obviously, in the time of Israel, we're talking about people under the old covenant. There were many people that were unsaved. Of course there were. Okay. Now the difference with the new covenant, praise God, you know, that we're all saved. If you're part of the new covenant, you have to be saved to enter in. Okay. So obviously, we're not comparable to Sodom and Gomorrah in that sense. Okay. But I still want you to take the thought and the principle there, that we don't want to come to church and offer our sacrifices of praise. It just means nothing. Because God's going to hate that. it doesn't honor him. How many times do we come to church and we hear the name of God, we speak the name of God? Be careful how you use his name. Let's make sure we're lifting it, we're proclaiming, we're honoring, we're loving the name of our Lord God. I go to turn to Psalm 139, verse number 19. Better hurry up. Psalm 139, verse number 19. Here's some other interesting points here. Verse number 19, it says, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men." So the wicked here being called the bloody men, of course, the idea of bloody men, they're murderers, okay, horrible people. For look at this, verse number 20. "For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." Who takes the name of God in vain? The enemies of God, the bloody men, the wicked men. These are the people that take God's name in vain. And then verse number 21. "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee." So what do we learn there? If you take God's name in vain, you hate God. Isn't that right? "And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." So another group of people that we're allowed to hate, not just a sin, but the people, are those that take God's name in vain. Don't take God's name in vain. Let's be careful. Me too. Me too. Okay? We say God's name. Boy, we don't want to lump ourselves again with these people, enemies of God, haters of God, because they do that. Why should we do what the haters of God do? Let's go to another passage, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, please, in verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 7. I started with a thought that we carry the name of Christ everywhere that we go. We're a Christian. We're saved by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're representatives, aren't we? We're ambassadors. We know this truth. We're soldiers. We're children of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 7 reads, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die." Look at this. "Remove far from me vanity and lies." But if you've got a hard time, and you know that you just, oh my God, you know that you take God's name and you just throw it in the mud. You know what? This is a good prayer to have. "Remove far from me vanity. God, help me." And I know, again, it's hard. You know, people grow up, you know, thank God I grew up in a Christian home, because, you know, I don't know what my parents would have done if I'm taking God's name in vain, but so many of us have. And then you're trying to work your mouth, and your tongue's the hardest thing to control. It's a little member, remember? But it kindles a great fire, your tongue. It's hard to control. Who's going to help you? Just go to God. "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Look at this. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." Look at verse number 9. "Lest I be full and deny thee." You know, when we're too full, when we're just way too blessed, and in Australia, we're already too blessed. We're already too rich. Honestly, visit the rest of the world and you'll know you're a very rich person. But anyway, this is the danger. "Lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." When you're too wealthy, when you're too full, you forget the Lord. But look, we don't want to be too poor either. We don't want to get to the point that we're poor and then we end up stealing. Because if we do that, we take the name of the Lord God in vain. So how is that possible? Because you're a Christian. You take the name of God with you everywhere you go. You're a representative of a saved person. You're a Christian. You're a Christ follower. And then when you go out and still, you destroy your testimony and you destroy that name of Christ. You know, your behavior honors the name of the Lord, or it dishonors the name of the Lord. If you go out there and you commit theft, you get caught, you get embarrassed, your testimony gets ruined. Oh, these Christians. Yeah, you've taken God's name in vain by your behavior. You see? This is why we also should just overcome sin. You know, don't get comfortable in your sins. Well, I'm saved, God, and my life's better than it was before, but you're still a sinner. So am I. Let's try to get better. Let's be a little bit more Christ-like. If we want to call ourselves Christians, that's what it means, to follow Christ. It means we ought to get better. We ought to, our life ought to uphold the name of Christ even more so as we mature and grow as Christians. But you get yourself into some major sins like theft, you take God's name in vain because you've destroyed it by your testimony. All right, one more passage, please. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. I did want to end with this thought. Because if you say, well, my mouth's pretty clean, Pastor. Yeah, but you still sin. And don't forget, your sin can dishonor the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, the name of our Lord. It says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. The Bible reads, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Look at this. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Do you name the name of Christ? Of course you do. So we're in church. We come in the name of Christ. We come to honor Christ. So what? If you want to name the name of Christ, what should you do? You ought to depart from iniquity. Brethren, when you sin, I want you to be disgusted at yourself. Say, man, I messed up. I'm meant to be a Christian. I know I'm saved. I'm not going to lose my salvation. Praise God. But my life did not honor the Lord right now. I gave into my wicked flesh. I've dishonored the name of my Lord. I name myself a Christian. I ought to be living a life that is holy and pleasing. Then what do you do? It's a lesson that I've done for the last few weeks. Go and confess it before the Lord. Be made right with God. Say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me to walk in your paths. Help me to overcome this sin. You know, if there's something that I've not done, that's I've messed up now, help me get that right. Let me fix that, Lord. Okay, because I don't want to dishonor your name. We name the name of Christ. And if we do that, brethren, we ought to depart from iniquity. So you call yourself a Christian, we call ourselves Christians. Amen. I love that name, Christian, Christ follower. Named one of my sons Christian. Where's Christian? Oh, you're there. It's a good name. Okay, Christ follower. But then how well does your life represent Christ? Christian? How well does your name represent our Lord Jesus Christ? So yeah, okay, maybe you got your mouth under control, but hey, you know what? We still need to consider the iniquity that we have, and we don't want to give the name of Christ a bad name. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you so much, Lord, for your teaching in your word. And Lord, I just pray you'd help each one of us. Lord, even as I pray right now, if I name your name, Lord, that I'm just a bit more careful with how I say it. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us, Lord, for being merciful. And Lord, you've promised in your word that when we've taken your name in vain, that you're not going to hold us guiltless. So Lord, I just pray you'd forgive us. Lord, you know, Lord, you know how we fail. You know how, Lord, sometimes we just overlook things in the Bible. And Lord, sometimes we just pat ourselves on the back because we're not murderers, we're not adulterers, Lord, but maybe we've taken your name in vain. And for that, we're sorry. Lord, we want New Life Baptist Church to be a church that honors you, that lifts up your name, that hallows your name, that honors, Lord, who you are and what your name is. And Lord, we thank you for giving the name of Jesus to your Son, the name above all names, and that by that name, Lord, every knee should bow. And Lord, I pray when you send us to the harvest and we're preaching the gospel to the lost, that we remember the power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, that we worship the true God, the true creator of all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brethren, let's take our hymnals and let's turn to hymn number 116. 116, 116. And I've got the wrong... what's the name? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. That's what I want to sing. Jesus is 156. Thank you, Matthias. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Now let's mean it when we sing it. Amen.
There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and someday I shall see Him face to face to thank and praise Him for His wondrous grace, which He gave to me when He made me free, the blessed Son of God called Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.